Well, thank you, Seidlitz. That was a blessing. Amen. And thank you, Brother Adam, for playing the clavinola here this morning. I noticed that some of you were looking over there with absolute amazement, thinking, is he really playing that thing or not? He pushed a button. Right, Brother Adam?
Yes, sir.
All right. But to your amazement, he does know how to play the piano. Right, Brother Adam? He says, don't put me on the spot to do it right now. If you have your Bibles, let's take it and turn to the book of Galatians this morning, Galatians chapter 3, if you would please. The book of Galatians and Galatians chapter 3. If you need a Bible, raise your hand up high. We've got Bibles that you can use. Just hold your hand up high. We'll give you a page number. That way you'll be able to follow right along with us this morning. So we go to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, page 1245 if you're using one of our Bibles. Book of Galatians and Galatians chapter 3, if you would please. Everybody get a Bible here this morning. Thank you so much for that song. What a wonderful song that is about our God. And I couldn't think of a better song, really, to get us thinking in the spirit of worship and thanksgiving to our Lord. I just want to encourage our church throughout this entire month, a spirit of praise, a spirit of thanksgiving. That's what God's people need to be doing. And our God's worthy of it. Amen. We ought not to wait till we get to heaven to start. We ought to get started now. And that way when we get to heaven, we'll be used to it. Amen? Because we're going to do a lot of worshiping up in heaven, a lot of praising and thanking God up in heaven. Book of Galatians, if you would please, Galatians chapter 3. Yeah, we are coming back to our study in the book of Galatians. If you're visiting with us today, we've been studying the book of Galatians together in our morning service. We took a brief break, about a three-week break, back around our anniversary service time. Last week I gave a special message, the anniversary service, a special message before anniversary service, but we're coming back to our study in Galatians this morning, and we're going to be examining some of the B's and B's of being saved, some of the blessings and benefits, the B's and B's of being saved. And we're going to see that here in Galatians chapter 3, at the very tail end of the chapter, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. If you're physically able to do so, we like to stand out of respect for the Word of God. So if you would join me in standing, if you're not able to, that's fine. Just remain in your seat. But notice in verse 26, the Bible says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Let's bow together in prayer. Father, it is a blessing to be saved, a child of God, and on our way to heaven. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And as we come to the end of this chapter, and Father, as we come to some of the blessings and benefits of being saved and being in your family, I pray, Lord, that we would leave here as a rejoicing people, praising you and giving thanks to you for all that you've done for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, there may be someone here this morning that does not know Christ, that does not possess the assurance and confidence that if they were to die, they would go to heaven. I pray, Lord, that through this message, they would come to understand what your Son accomplished on their behalf. By faith, they would accept him and leave here as a child of God today. We'll praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. On June 6, 1973, I had the blessing and privilege of taking Peggy, my wife, Peggy to be my wife. That was a neat day. I can still remember it. Praise the Lord. Look back on it with fondness. On that day, not only did I gain her as my bride, I also became a part of her family via marriage. This is not a message on marriage this morning, but you young people, listen to what I have to say for just a second. You don't just marry an individual, you marry a family. Stop and think about it. That's all I'm going to say. I soon learned that in marrying my wife, I married into a family. And I became a part of their family by marriage, and it didn't take too long for me to begin to enjoy some of the blessings and benefits of that. I did not marry into a family that I regretted marrying into. Well, perhaps here and there a couple of times, but for the most part, it was a real blessing and a great benefit in my life to be part of her family. Her mother was a wonderful lady, knew the Lord, loved the Lord. She was an outstanding cook, and she enjoyed fixing things to please her new son-in-law. Things like homemade cinnamon rolls. Fresh coconut cake. I didn't really care for coconut until I met my mother-in-law. She convinced me to try it just once. That's all I needed. Around Christmas time, she made this homemade fruit cake. Now, you know, if you ever eat these store-bought fruit cakes, you know why they're no good. But she made this homemade fruit cake that was out of this world, that was unbelievable. And so there were blessings and benefits of coming into this family. Her father came from a farming background. Since I grew up in a rural area, we had some things in common. That was sort of neat, if you would please. He owned his own business, and in a lot of ways, her father was self-taught. I believe he finished the sixth grade and then had to go on the farm and work. But he's very intelligent, very gifted. He really was an inventor in a lot of ways. Invented a lot of things. He really could have done a lot of things in this world given the opportunity, but he did a lot of things without the opportunity. So I benefited from being able to draw upon his experience, his wealth of knowledge about things, and there would be times when I'd call him and ask him about something that I was sort of stuck on. In his retirement years, he loved the fish. Boy, was that ever a benefit and a blessing. We had a great time together fishing for reds and trout and sheephead and about anything else that would bite. So there were a lot of blessings and benefits of coming into my wife's family, not just getting her to be my bride, but coming into that family. And what I'm saying here this morning was I was blessed greatly and benefited much from being part of her family. And I want to translate that concept to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 23, because here the Apostle Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is pointing out some of the blessings and benefits of being saved and in the family of God. That's not anything for any of us to take lightly. To be part of God's family is a great joy. It's a great privilege. It's a great benefit. It's a great blessing. Understand that Paul is writing, specifically addressing the Gentile believers of Galatia. That's to whom this book was written. And the last time we were in our study in Galatians, I pointed out to you about 4 weeks ago, I pointed out to you that there was a pronoun change that was taking place in this passage of Scripture. Notice, if you would please, in verse 25 it says, but after that faith has come, notice what it says. Verse 25, it says what? We are no longer under a what? Schoolmaster. In the context of the passage, Paul was saying, we Jews, once faith had come in Christ, we Jews were no longer under the schoolmaster. The law was a schoolmaster to bring the Jews to Christ, that they might be justified through faith in the Lord Jesus. And Paul is saying now, once faith has come, we Jews are no longer under that schoolmaster. But you come to verse 26 and there's a pronoun change. And you come to verse 26 and he says, he doesn't use we, he says, for who? Ye. And he's referring to all those Gentile believers, those Gentiles that had come to faith in Christ. And he's saying to those Gentiles, for you Gentiles, ye Gentiles, You're all the children of God by what? Faith in Christ Jesus. So one of the blessings and benefits that we're going to look at this morning of being saved is the blessing of sonship. The blessing of sonship. The privilege of being able to call yourself a child of God. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now the Bible here is teaching a simple twofold, if you would please, explanation of how these Gentiles got into the family of God. If you're here this morning and you're not certain that you are in the family of God, I would encourage you to pay close attention to what this verse is saying. First of all, this verse lets us know that it was a by faith proposition. Look in your Bibles, if you would please. He says, for you're all the children of God. What's the next two words? Say them to me. By faith. So how did they get in the family? The Bible says they got in the family by what? By faith. It is a by faith proposition. How do you get into the family of God? How do you become a child of God? The answer is by what? Faith. Now in Galatians chapter 3, that is a very significant truth. And he ties it back with a man in the Old Testament by the name of Abraham. And look, if you would, please, in Galatians chapter 3, previously up in the chapter, in verse 6. Galatians chapter 3, in verse 6, the Bible says this, even as Abraham, look at this now, Abraham did what? Believed God, and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. When Abraham became a person of faith, where he took God at his word and believed God, God counted that to Abraham for righteousness. That meaning that God brought Abraham into a righteous position in his sight. In the terminology that we are using here this morning, we might say Abraham got in the family by what? By faith. How does a person get in the family? By faith. It's a by faith proposition. What is faith? Faith is coming to believe God. Faith is coming to take God at His word. If you look over with me in Romans chapter 4, we find a biblical definition of faith. Romans chapter 4. Hold your place in Galatians because we're going to come back. But go with me to Romans chapter 4, over to your left, page 1196 if you're using one of our Bibles. And in Romans chapter 4, notice if you would please, a biblical definition of faith. In Romans chapter 4, look down if you would please, in verse 19. It again is using the illustration of Abraham. And the Bible says here in Romans chapter 4, in verse 19, that Abraham, being not weak in what? In faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. This has reference to when God came to Abraham and he was about 99 years of age, and his wife Sarah was about 90 years old, and God says, you're going to have a child. Whoa. That would have been some news, wouldn't it? If my wife came to me now and said, and Abraham's got 30 plus years up on me. But notice Abram's response. The Bible says he was not weak in faith. He did not consider his own body, now dead, past the time of having children. When he was about 100 years old, you don't hear of 100-year-old men having babies, children, do you? Not really, not typically. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, do you typically hear of 90-year-old women having children? You sure don't, do you? Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God. God made a promise. Abram, you're going to have a child. Sarah's going to have a child. God promised him. God made a statement. And the Bible says he didn't stagger at that promise through unbelief, but he was strong in what? Faith, giving glory to God. And look at the faith that he was strong in verse 21. The Bible says, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able also to what? Perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for what? Righteousness. When God said to Abraham, Abraham, you're going to have this child, Abraham didn't consider the impossibility at 100 years of age or 90 years of age. He just thought about who said it. It's God who said it. And if God said it, it's as good as good. He said, I'm going to believe God. He was fully persuaded that what God had said, God would fulfill. Now, how in the world do we get into the family of God? The answer is by what? Faith. We must have a persuasion that what God says to us about how to get in the family is the truth. And we take God at His word and we accept it. Go back, if you would please, to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, what a wonderful verse this is. We're all the children of God. Notice, first of all, to get into the family of God, it is a by faith proposition. Notice what the verse says. Once again, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God. Say it with me. By faith. Does the verse end there? Verse doesn't end there, does it? It says we're all the children of God by what? Faith, but then it goes on to say where our faith must be. Notice it goes on to say in who? Christ Jesus. If you want to be in the family of God, if you want to be a child of God, if you want to be saved and on your way to heaven, you must come to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus. You see, faith is how we get in the family, but faith has got to be resting in the right object. There are some people who say they have faith, but they're not putting their faith or their trust in the one who can give them eternal life. The only one that can give us eternal life is Jesus Christ. That's the only person in the universe that you can go to and find life. Take your Bibles and turn over to your right, if you would please. 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. This is not the Gospel of John. This is 1 John. Over to your right, page 1325. 1325. In 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, we find the Bible giving us a revelation that eternal life is found in a person. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. That was an eye-opening revelation in my life. I did not always understand that. I did not always understand that. I thought for many years of my life that if I lived a good life, if I went to church, if I got baptized, you know, I'd probably make it to heaven one of these days. And then I came to realize the Bible doesn't teach that eternal life is in my baptism or in my good works and what I do. That eternal life is in the person of Jesus Christ. Look what God says in 1 John chapter 5 in verse 11. The Bible says this, and this is the record that God hath given to us. What's He given to us? Eternal life. And notice where that eternal life is found. The Bible says, this is the record that God's given us eternal life, to us eternal life, and this life is where? In His Son. My friend, if you want to be part of the family, if you want to become a child, you must have faith, but your faith must be in the right object. You must place your faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said when He walked the face of the earth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by the Lord Jesus was teaching the exclusivity, if you would please. The only one that we can come to have eternal life is the person of Jesus Christ. And God says, I'm giving you a record. I'm giving you a record that I want to give you eternal life, and I want you to understand that this life is found in my Son, the Lord Jesus. I'm stressing that this morning because Galatians 3:26 says, for you're all the children of God by faith, yes, but by faith where? In who? Christ Jesus. I'm stressing it because there are a lot of people today that have their faith in the wrong thing, the wrong object, and sometimes the wrong person. This past week, I had someone ask me a question about a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7. I want you to take your Bibles and turn over there, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 7. The Gospel of Matthew in Matthew chapter 7, page 1004, Matthew chapter 7. If you're using one of our Bibles or you have an old Scofield Reference Bible, 1004, Matthew chapter 7, if you would please. In Matthew chapter 7, there's some people in Matthew chapter 7 who were pointing out to the Lord things that they had done in their life. Notice, if you would please, in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 22. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 22, Jesus says this. He says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" We're in verse 22. "Lord, haven't we prophesied in thy name? And Lord, in thy name we've cast out" what? "Devils. We've even cast demons out in your name. And Lord, in thy name, in your name, we have done many wonderful" what? "Works." And I want you to notice that all those things were done in the name of Jesus. Isn't that what the verse says? So the person who was asking me the question said, "Well, certainly these must have been saved people, because they are acknowledging Jesus as Lord, and they are doing these things in His name." But then when you come down to verse 23, Jesus says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work" what? "Iniquity." And the person who was asking me about this, it just wasn't making sense in their mind. They thought, well, they must be saved people. I mean, look at what they're doing. They're doing it in the Lord's name. And then Jesus turns around and says, "Depart from me, ye that work" what? "Iniquity." And they were just asking me about the passage and say, "I don't quite understand that." And the answer is, they were people who had faith in the wrong object. Their faith was not resting in the person of Jesus Christ. Their faith was resting in what they were doing for the person of Jesus Christ. "Lord, we have prophesied in your" what? "Name." "Lord, we have cast out devils in your" what? "Name." "Lord, we have done many wonderful" what? "Works in your" what? "Name." "In your name." That's like people who put confidence in the church to get them to heaven. See, we have people like that today. "Of course I'm going to heaven. Don't you understand I'm a good church member?" And their confidence, their trust is in their what? Church. It's like people who put confidence in the ordinances of the church. You know, baptism or the Lord's Supper. Or if you're in a particular religion, they call them sacraments of the church. And they have more than just baptism and the Lord's Supper. They've got some, they have seven sacraments, and they view those sacraments as though, you know, man's down on the face of the earth and heaven's up here. And if you want to get to heaven, there's a ladder between you and heaven. And so you've got to climb the ladder up to heaven. And they view each one of those seven sacraments as a step on the ladder, that if you want to get to heaven, you just climb the ladder up there. Now, most of those people would say, "Of course I believe in the Lord. Of course I believe in Jesus." But that's not the object of their faith for salvation. The object of their faith is not Jesus and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, what Jesus did on our behalf. The object of their faith is my baptism, partaking of Holy Communion, obedience to God's laws and commands. Now, we as a Baptist church don't teach that and do not believe the Bible teaches that. But sometimes even Baptists get confused. And sometimes Baptists think that because they walk forward and they get baptized, that's what gets them to heaven. And do you understand that if a person's faith is resting in the fact that they came forward and got baptized and joined the church, and that's what gets them to heaven, do you understand that one of these days, they're going to hear Jesus say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." You mean to tell me, Pastor, that a person can be doing things in the name of Jesus and not be saved? For ye are all the children of God by faith. But where's that faith got to be? In who?
Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus. You see, if your faith is resting in anything other than the Lord Jesus, this passage, well, I had my Bible upside down, didn't know it. This passage in Matthew chapter 7, did you know that? Did you notice? I'm just seeing if some of you were observant. Did you notice? Okay, all right. No, I didn't notice. I was sleeping. Okay, all right. All right, verse 21. I can't believe I just said that. Verse 21. Look what verse 21 says. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus is saying, hey, not everybody that just professes to know me is going to enter heaven. There's many people who are going to say, Lord, Lord. But notice who are going to get there. Jesus says, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You want to go to heaven, man, you got to do his will. And what is his will? Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You've got to come to place your faith, your trust in me. Your total dependence and reliance must be upon the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing that you do. What we do has absolutely nothing to do with us getting into the family of God. My friend, if you think that you're going to get yourself into the family of God, you'll never be in the family. You have to come to the point in your life where you say to God, God, there's nothing I can do to get myself in the family. The only thing I can do to get in the family is to cast myself upon your Son who died for me. I believe he went to a cross and died in my place and paid my sin debt because sin does have a debt. The wages of sin is death. You see, that's something we cannot pay. I believe that he went and made that payment for me. I believe that he is the only way in which I can be saved. The object of my faith, what am I trusting in to get me to heaven? I'm trusting Jesus Christ and him alone. I want you to know something here this morning. If Jesus Christ does not take me to heaven when I die, I'm not going. Because I'm not trusting anything that I'm doing or I have done. I'm trusting in Jesus and what he did and nothing else to get me to heaven. The Bible says if you want to be a child of God, we're the children of God by what? Faith. And where's that faith got to be? In Christ Jesus. Our faith has got to be resting in the right object, the right person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be religious, you can be sincere, you can be doing all kinds of things in the church, you can be an outstanding church member. But my friend, if your faith is not in Christ Jesus, you're not in the family. Amen. It's that simple. And it's not my word, it's God's word. And it's not that we get to come our way. Whatever way we choose, we can go. Well, that's our world today, isn't it? And just go any way you want to go. You hear people talk about that, don't you, Brother Adam? That's like me wanting to go to Atlanta. If I want to go to Atlanta, I better get on Interstate 20. Don't you agree? Or go up to Greenville and get on Interstate 85. But if I go over to Florence and get on 95, man, I can drive up and down 95 until I die. Until I run out of money to put gas in my car. And Interstate 95, figure it out. It's not that hard. Interstate 95 will never get you to Atlanta. It will never get you to Atlanta. It will never get you to Atlanta. Back when Delta was more popular than what it is today, everybody thought they had to go through Atlanta. 95 won't get you to Atlanta. What we do won't get us to heaven. It's faith in who? It's faith in Jesus Christ because of his sacrifice for us on the cross of Calvary. Go back to Galatians chapter 3. We're talking about blessings and benefits of being in the family. The first blessing and benefit is sonship. Sonship. Are you a child of God this morning? Do you know you're a son of God? On your way to heaven? If you're blessed by that, say amen.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing that is. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 3, if you would please. Galatians chapter 3. The second blessing he's going to point out to us is in verse 27. And the second blessing these Gentile believers needed to understand is that there was a union that was formed when they came to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. at the moment of their salvation. The Bible says in verse 27, he says, for as many of you, he's talking about you Gentile believers, as many of you as have been baptized, where? Into Christ, he says, you have put on who? You've put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, at the moment of our salvation, there was a baptism that took place. It wasn't our physical water baptism. It was a spiritual baptism by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12, take your Bibles, look at it quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, over to your left. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at this verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just over to your left a little bit, page 1233. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look in verse 12. The Bible says this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, 12, it says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that body, one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now verse 13. For by one Spirit, look at what the verse says. For by one Spirit we are all, what? Baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one what? Spirit. The moment you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, the Spirit of God took you and baptized you or placed you into the body of Christ. There was a spiritual union that took place at the moment of your salvation, so that Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, back in Galatians 3, at the end of the verse says, hey, if you've been baptized into Christ, guess what? You've put Him on. You have put on who? Christ. You've put on Christ. Now that's, church, that's a different putting on than what we were thinking about last year in our theme about putting on Christ. There's two putting on Christ spoken of in the Bible. And this speaks about our standing before God. How do we stand before God if we put our faith in the Lord Jesus? We're His child and we've put on who? Christ. You know what that's saying? That's saying that we're now clothed in the robes of His righteousness. We stand before God in Christ. And not only do we stand before God in Christ, we stand before God with Christ being in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches Christ in you is your hope of glory. What gives us our hope of glory? Christ in us. Take your Bibles, turn the book of Colossians over to your right. Colossians chapter 1, just over to your right. A few pages, the book of Colossians in Colossians chapter 1. Boy, what a blessing this is. There's a union that has taken place. A union that has taken place between me and the Lord Jesus Christ, between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and so God the Father sees us clothed in the righteousness, the very robes of Christ's righteousness. And in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 27, the Bible says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Hey, the glories of this mystery among the Gentiles. That's most of us here this morning. We're Gentiles. And here's a glorious truth, which is Christ in you, the hope of what? What gives you the hope of eternal life in heaven? It's having Jesus Christ inside. Christ in you is our hope of glory. The blessing and benefit of being saved. There's sonship. There's a union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to Galatians chapter 3. The third thing that I want you to see here, the third blessing and third benefit is found in verse 28. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, he says this. He says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all, look at this now, you're all what? One in Christ Jesus. So the third blessing that he brings out here is the fact that we're one in Christ. There's a unity, if you would please. There is an equality. In the family of God, there is no one who is superior to anybody else. There is no one who is better than anyone else. In the family of God, we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ, and those earthly distinctions that often bring pride and prejudice and rift between individuals are a thing of the past. You see, he's saying that in the family, you're no longer Jew. You're no longer Gentile. He's saying in the family, you're no longer bond. You're no longer free. He's saying in the family, you're no more male. You're no more what? Female in the body. In the family, we're one in Christ Jesus. In the family of God, the color of skin is not an issue. In the family of God, the neighborhood that you live in is not the deal. In the family of God, what your social status is not a concern. In the family of God, what matters is that you have the person of Jesus Christ. And they have the person of Jesus Christ. There's a oneness. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And all those earthly distinctions that has brought so much friction to mankind is now to be considered a thing of the past. We're one in Christ. We're one in Christ. You know, the Bible, in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2, speaks about Christ coming down to this earth. And it points out the great animosity that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles. Did the Jews and Gentiles get along? Absolutely not. There was racial prejudice between the two of them. There was dislike between them. There was hatred between them. But in Ephesians chapter 2, it speaks about Christ coming to abolish that. Look over, if you would, please, just to your right, just a few pages. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 11, Ephesians was written to a Gentile church, and he says, in verse 11, he says, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, you had no hope, you were without God in the world." But verse 13, "But now, in who? In Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off, you've been included. You've been made nigh by the blood of who? Blood of Christ." Verse 14, "For he," Jesus, "is our peace." He's brought peace between the Jew and the Gentile, the believing Jew and the believing Gentile. He broke down that middle wall of partition that was between us. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain, look what the Bible says, one new man. What are you in the Lord Jesus Christ? You're a new man. A new man. Notice what it says. So making what? Peace. In the family of God, God's people ought to live peacefully. Should have had an amen on that one. Because of who we know and what we are in Him, we're in the same family. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes our flesh riles up and we're not submitted to the Holy Spirit's control, and we begin to exercise respect of persons in our hearts toward others. But remember what the book of James says. When you begin to treat a brother or sister in Christ as though you're better than they are, you're superior, they're inferior, You know what the Bible says in the book of James? The book of James says, you become a judge with evil thoughts. And you're not practicing the royal law to love thy neighbor as thyself. Go back to Galatians, if you would, please. Blessings, benefits, and being in the family of God. Man, we've got an equal standing before God. What a blessing that is. An equal standing before God. And then notice, if you would, please, the fourth one he brings out here in verse 29. In verse 29, he says, and if you be Christ, he's speaking again, remember, to the Gentiles. He said, now, if you be Christ, then guess what? You're Abraham's what? You're Abraham's seed. And you've become heirs according to the what? To the promise. Now, in the thrust of the book of Galatians, remember, the Judaizers were telling these people, in order to become heirs, you must obey the law of Moses. And what is Paul showing them? He's showing them, no, that's not how you get in the family. You don't get in the family by the law of Moses. You get in the family by promise. By promise. And when you come to, by faith, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you become Abraham's seed, a child of Abraham, a spiritual child, not a physical child. It doesn't make you a Jew. Remember, in the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor what? Gentile. That distinction's gone. We're one in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it doesn't make you a Jew, it just makes you a spiritual child of Abraham. It means that you've responded to God the same way that Abraham responded to God. Abraham was fully persuaded. He believed God. And is not Abraham the father of faith? Isn't that what the Bible calls him? He's the father of what? Faith. And so when you become a person of faith, Abraham becomes your spiritual what? Father. And guess what? Just as he inherited a promise from God, guess what? We inherit a promise from God. And what is the promise that we inherit? Eternal life in heaven with God for all of eternity. Take your Bibles and look over, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, this is a blessing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, page 1311, we inherit a blessing. We inherit eternal life. In page 1311, in 1 Peter chapter 1, look at what the Bible teaches here in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 4. The Bible says, to an inheritance, it is what? Incorruptible, it is what? Undefiled. It is undefiled. Do you understand that any inheritance that you get in this life will be something that is corruptible? That can be defiled. But God is saying that we have an inheritance up in heaven that is incorruptible. It is undefiled. It's not even going to do what? It's not even going to fade away. My bride is fading away on me. And I've really faded on her. She just talked to me about it last week. Everything on this life is fading. Is it not? But not heaven. Not our inheritance in heaven. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved. Look at it now. Reserved where? In heaven for you. Aren't you looking forward to heaven someday? No more tears, no more sorrow. I don't know if there's not going to be white hair up there or not. But there will be no aging, no disease, no death, no dying. Former things are passed away. Behold, all things become. It's reserved in heaven for us. Verse 5. Who are kept, were kept safe for that inheritance by the power of God, through faith unto what?
Salvation.
ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. What's the Apostle Paul doing in this conclusion of Galatians chapter 3, if you would please? In this conclusion of Galatians chapter 3, he's bringing forth the argument that salvation comes through faith in Christ alone. The law of Moses has absolutely nothing to do with it. He's setting the stage for going into chapter 4. And as he goes into chapter 4, he's going to bring out the reality, and he's teaching us the reality that we became a son in the family and we're not a servant under the law. We're free from the law. We're not saved by the law. We're not kept by the law. We don't continue in the law. We are free from the law. We're not servants under the law. We're sons under grace. And that's the truth that he's bringing forth. And what a blessing. What a blessing to be a son under grace. What a blessing to have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing to be one in the Lord Jesus. And what a blessing to be heirs of an inheritance that is waiting for us in heaven, and it will never, ever fade away. We as God's people have a lot of rejoicing in what God's done for us. And if you're here today and you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for you on the cross, was buried and rose again the third day, I would encourage you to do so. Let's bow together in prayer. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You may be here this morning and never put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Could I encourage you this morning to be like Abraham, to believe God, and let God count that faith to you for righteousness, to bring you into the family? The Bible says we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you would come this morning before God humbly and just simply say to God, you don't have to say it out loud, but you can say it in your mind, in the quietness of your seat, right where you're sitting, God, I am a sinner. And I understand, God, that as a sinner, there's nothing I can do that will get me to heaven. I cannot pay the penalty of my sin, which is death. But I believe that your son Jesus, as an innocent substitute, died in my place. I believe he paid for my sin. I believe he was buried and rose again the third day. And God, by faith here this morning, I'm accepting your son Jesus and what he did for me on the cross of Calvary, and that alone to be my way to heaven. My friend, if you would by faith receive Christ, God would save you right where you're sitting. Would you do that? God, I cannot save myself. I cannot pay sin's penalty of death. I believe your son did, and I accept him and what he did on the cross to be my way to heaven. If you're doing that here this morning, could I pray for you? Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Would you just quietly just here this morning, if you just prayed that prayer to accept the Lord Jesus and what he did for you on the cross, would you just slip your hand up and slip it down so I could pray for you? Anyone at all? Just where I can see it, just slip your hand up and slip it down. When we come to by faith accept Christ, God brings us into family, makes us a child. May we as God's people rejoice in what we have in the person of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for sonship. We thank you for the union that we have with Christ. We thank you for the spiritual oneness that we have in the body, in the family of God. We thank you, Lord, that we are heirs according to your word of an eternal inheritance that is waiting for us in heaven. We praise you, we thank you, we give you glory, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen.